Merry Christmas. I was not here for the Christmas Eve service, so I missed you all. I was going to wear my Santa Aloha shirt, but I decided to go with the shark and palm tree because it's the end of the year and you got to end with a bang. So I put on my sassiest Aloha shirt. But I hope you had a good Christmas. Mine was very mellow. As you know, it was raining here. We did not leave the house. I actually love big Christmases with as many family and friends. I don't know why we've done that just kind of historically in my family, but I love that. But we just kept it super mellow. We did not leave the house. My grandma and my aunt showed up in their pajamas. We didn't even go anywhere. It was actually really refreshing. So that was how my Christmas was, and I'm glad you guys hopefully had a good Christmas. Christmas can always be, you know, really amazing and fun, or it can kind of be like kind of dreary depending on your situation. But I'm glad you're here. And if you did not have a good Christmas, I want to encourage you, as Andre just did, to come to the New Year's Eve service. It's going to be super good. Okay. So I want to tell you guys a little story. Actually, two little stories. One was, I relate to this movie that I'm going to tell you a little bit about, because I used to work in the yachting industry before I did this, and before, those of you that know, I help out with Surfing the Nations. And my first job, I remember, I walked down the docks, and super, I don't know what it is about boats, but for me, I just see big, cool sport fishing boats, and I'm just like, this is amazing. It's like being in a candy shop. So I walked down, it's this amazing boat, and the captain's kind of interviewing me, and everything goes well, so I show up, get the job. Next day, first day on the job, there's about a bait tank as big as this rug. It's a big 100-foot yacht fisher. And inside the bait tank is leftover sardines from a trip. And he's like, that's your first job. Get inside there and clean it out. So I'm literally inside this bait tank that's about this high, like scrubbing rotting sardines out for a couple hours. And you know, well, maybe you don't know, but if you don't clean off, if you don't keep the decks wet on boats, stuff sticks, and then the sun bakes it and it dries. So I got like fish scales baked and just scrubbing for days. That was my first job on that boat, and I remember that forever. So I always try to give people a tough first job when they work for me. Anyways, that story reminded me of this movie. Some of you, by show of hands, have you seen the movie? It came out in the early 2000s. I think 2004, 2005. It was with Matthew McConaughey. Any Matthew McConaughey fans? He does a lot of chick flicks, but I like him. He has some actually great movies as well. But early 2000s, U571. You remember that? Yes? It's good, huh? No, only one person? Two people? Three people. Okay. Okay, today's homework assignment. Cheap date night or family night, Amazon Prime, rent it, it's $3, U571. Okay, it's an old, it's not that old, but it's based off World War II, okay? And Matthew McConaughey is starring as Captain Tyler in this movie, and he is the captain of an American submarine boat in World War II, and their job is to capture and take over a German sub and take captive this translating device called, I think it's called an Enigma, so that they can have an edge in the war. It's based on a true story, actually. Really great movie. I think it won an Academy Award for like sound engineering. There's some pretty intense sound moments. But anyways, that's the premise of the movie in World War II. But in that movie, the highlight and the most intense scene is towards the end of the movie. They've captured the boat, they've taken hostage the German crew, they've captured the Enigma, the translating device, and they're trying to get out of Dodge and make it home. But they have been found by German destroyer battleship, and they are getting hammered with depth charts. And they get hammered so much that something goes wrong mechanically, and they start to sink down to about 600 fathoms or something like that. So they're going deep, deep, deep. 600 fathoms, 600 fathoms times 6. What is that? 3,600 feet. Thank you. We're deep, okay? Very deep. And as they're getting kind of hammered by these depth charge, they lose pressure in one of the valves in the engine room. And so Captain Tyler, Matthew McConaughey, orders this guy, who's kind of like my size, this is why I relate to him, to get in the hole, which is like where I was in the bait tank, but that was probably better. Get in the bilge hole in the engine room, it's flooded, and to get in there and turn off the valve so that they can seal off the pressure and equalize. So this guy, if you don't get down there, we're going to die. You need to go. That's an order. That's kind of how the scene is going. It's very intense. It's very quiet everywhere else because there's radar and echolocation. So it's just intense moment of the movie. And so he decides to do it. His name's Trigger. Trigger, get down in the bilge and turn off the valve. So Trigger's got a hose in his mouth, and he's kind of not swimming, but underwater swimming, navigating through pipes and pumps and stuff like that. And he sees the valve. It's underwater. It's releasing pressure. All these bubbles are coming out. And so he's reaching, and he turns it off. And right as he turns it off, another valve about 3 feet farther starts to lose pressure. And that same moment, I think another depth charge hits and tweaks a pipe and kind of tweaks his leg in between some pipes. So at that moment, he has to decide, am I either going to bail on this assignment? Not to mention, he's kind of stuck. I'm either going to die or try to get myself out, or am I going to save the crew? Because if he doesn't turn the valve, they won't equalize, and they're going to die, the whole entire boat, okay? So at that moment, he decides, I'm going for it. And he's kind of losing consciousness as he's doing his last stretch, and he gets the valve off. And as soon as they get the valve off, they equalize, but he dies. He dies in the movie. He did whatever it took. And so that's the name of my message for today, Whatever It Takes, okay? Whatever It Takes. I love that movie, okay? So go see it, watch it, rent it. It's good. You're going to like it. Probably not good for little kids, but it's more or less family friendly, okay? So our theme this year, as most of you have known, is Make a Difference, making a difference. And as I was preparing for this message, right away, this section of scripture, this story jumped into my brain. And as I started pondering, okay, how am I going to make a difference? It's the last Sunday of the year. I told the first service, Pastor Paul, why did you let me have the last Sunday of the year? This is awesome. I'm like the anchor. This is like, I got the last baton. I'm making it. I'm running hard, and I'm going big on this Sunday. It's the last Sunday of the year. I'm going for it. Okay, so why did you give that to me? I don't know why, but thank you, Pastor Paul and Ainsley. Super awesome to be an extension of you up here on the last Sunday of 2019. Okay? But anyways, as I was saying, how am I going to make a difference on the last Sunday? Not only personally, okay, Zach, how are you going to do, how are you actually going to apply the theme still personally? But how are you going to encourage everyone to make a difference one last time? And automatically what kind of rolled off my tongue was, you got to do whatever it takes. You got to do whatever it takes to make a difference. And so I want to encourage you to do that and to ponder that as we go through the teaching this morning. How are you going to make a difference? You have literal days. And you know what? That's not necessarily a bad thing. Pressure is a good producer. So you know why guys are great on Valentine's Day? Because it's like Valentine's Day is tomorrow. Like, I got to get flowers and chocolates and a car. We perform well under pressure. So you got a little bit of pressure on you. What are you going to do to make a difference for the next couple days of 2019? And I hope you'll answer that by the end of today's teaching with, I'm going to do whatever it takes, Zach. I'm going to do whatever it takes, Pastor Paul, or neighbor, or spouse, or friend, or roommate. Okay? So today, I know your bulletin says we're in Mark 2. That is actually a story we're going to be focusing on, but we're going to do it in Luke. I changed it up. Okay? Good old Luke, Dr. Luke. Okay? We're in Luke chapter 5, which again is the same story as Mark chapter 2, but from Luke's account. Okay? Luke chapter 5, verse 17. One day, while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law were sitting nearby. It seemed that these men showed up from every village in all Galilee and Judea, and as well as from Jerusalem. And the Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. By the way, I'm reading out of NLT. Sorry if that messes you up, but I'm switching things up, okay? Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. This is verse 18. They tried to take him inside to Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they went up to the roof and took off some tiles. Then they lowered the sick man on his mat down into the crowd right in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, "Young man, your sins are forgiven." But the Pharisees and teachers of religious law said to themselves, "Who does he think he is? That's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And immediately, as everyone watched, the man jumped up, picked up his mat, and went home praising God. Everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe, and they praised God, exclaiming, "We have seen amazing things today." Pretty good. I like that story. It's simple, but it's good, okay? So my first point to you guys today is it's all about attitude. So I didn't give you any freebies on your bulletin. You got to use your brain and a pencil and take notes, okay? Or if you're doing it on your phone. First point is it's all about attitude, okay? To me, this is really important. This is the platform of where we're building off of. It's an attitude thing, okay? God, what do you want me to do? Is a phrase, but really it's an attitude posture, okay? So when you say, "God, what do you want me to do?" "I'll do whatever it takes. I'll say whatever you want me to say. I'll go wherever you want me to go." That's an attitude placement, and that's a good place to be, because from there we can really build off of this story and this lesson and really kind of figure things out, okay? I love Psalms 139:23. It's an oldie but a goodie. It says, "Search me, O God, know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me." You know this one, right? You've heard it before. I love that scripture. You know why? Because it's an attitude scripture, in my opinion. It's an attitude scripture. Anytime you can say, "Okay, God, how am I doing? Is there anything I've done that's been a little bit frictional, a little annoying? Was my nonverbal communication even correct? Was my face even appropriate?" That's an attitude statement, and I like that. Because from there, you can do kind of anything, okay? So this first point is really good. Are you willing to do whatever it takes even to adjust your attitude, which, as you know, as well as I do, can usually be the hardest thing? It's sometimes easy to go fix someone's car or say, "I'm sorry, wife, let me make it up to you here, blah, 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 blah. I promise I won't do that again." That's easy to do compared to attitude, honestly, okay? So attitude, attitude, attitude. That's number one. It's all about the attitude. You know, and your attitude can be hard to do, can be hard to change, especially when you're stuck. Have you guys ever been stuck before? Stuck in a moment, stuck in a relationship. Who's single in here still? Hey, stuck in a relationship, you know what I'm saying? Stuck in a season, stuck in a sin, maybe just stuck in life. Being stuck can be hard. It's draining. It's exhausting, you know? And for the most part, not always, there's lots of situations, but for the most part, I think, that's my opinion, usually, see how I'm prefacing this? Okay, thank you. So this is not a blanket statement. But usually, you can be stuck for two reasons. It's either because who you're hanging out with in life, or maybe who you are not hanging out with in life. So this is really important. We were designed to be in some type of community. And so when you're stuck, you need to start looking around your friends. Who's that around you, you know? So have you ever been to a, well, we got all different generations in here, so I'll just, whether you were partying in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the early 2000s, have you ever been to a party and been paralyzed? Who's maybe OD'd on drugs? You don't have to show. That's probably the closest. Hey, I like, that's why I like you, Tom. I've OD'd on drugs. That's when you've actually literally been paralyzed and you're stuck. That's when you're dancing at a party. When you've been paralyzed at a party, that's a warning sign who you're hanging out with. Might not be the best thing. I'm not saying having a party is bad, but if you're getting paralyzed at a party, things are happening in your life, okay? So let's look at verse, my point here is all about community, okay? It's all about community. Let's look at verse 18, okay? Luke chapter 5, verse 18 says, "Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. They tried to take him inside to Jesus." I like it. These men were willing to help their friend who was stuck. I don't know, came from a party. I don't know what they were doing, but they realized, hey, Stevie here, he's stuck. This guy's paralyzed. We got to do something about this. Right? They're willing to do whatever it takes. We're going to unpack that a little bit. Right? So, point number two here is get with the right people. Get with the right people. Check your circle of friends. Right? Check your circle of friends. Now, that can be family as your circle of friends. That can be coworkers. That can be neighbors. It doesn't matter who they are as a title. The point is, who's your they? Who is your they? And they got to have crazy faith. Okay? So my circle here at Hope Chapel, the inner circle for me is Pastor Paul and Ainsley, Andre, I don't know where he's at, David, there he is, David Liu. Okay, that's the inner circle here. That's my they here at Hope Chapel. Okay? And each one of those guys is a little bit different. Okay? You know this. You know them a little bit. Right? Pastor Paul is my wisdom factor, my experience, tried and true. Andre is my manager. David, he's doing lots of things, making things are operating. David Liu's kind of refiner. Like, these are the details. All this stuff up here. I don't know what any of this is. I don't really care. I just make sure this thing's on. You know, he's into the details. And I don't know exactly where I am, but I'm kind of a crazy guy. Like, whoa, maybe we should do this. Maybe we should do that. Let's go here, right? Let's do service like this. You know what I wanted to do, but I ran out of time? I wanted to change all the chairs for this service, and I was trying to a circle. So I'd be up in here, and everyone around, like TED Talk style. But I ran out of time. It was Christmas, and I was trying to hire a black gospel choir. I'm going to get it one day because I wanted to just freak you out, and it's make a difference. So I was like, I'm going to go out with a bang here, but I couldn't do it. But no, if it happens, it's going to happen one day, okay? But that's how I think. I was literally calling churches in L.A. like, hey, you guys. Anyways, the point is your they has to be a little different, and you have to have a crazy person in your they. Right? You always got a prayer warrior and maybe a deal maker and maybe the reserve one. I don't know if we should do that, Zach. Maybe we need to pray about that. But you always have to have a crazy person, because the crazy person is going to do things that changes history. It might not make logical sense or financial sense, but they're going to put it out there. Right? This is where they're carrying Steve on a mat. Right? I'll save that for the next point. Anyways, you got to have a crazy person in your group, because our faith affects others. His they affected his faith. It affected him. Their faith affected him. Our faith affects others. Okay? Today, I need you to be my they. Okay? So everyone take out your cell phones. Or pagers, or whatever you're carrying these days. flip phones, iPhones, Androids. Take it out, shake it. Come on, minimize that Instagram feed or whatever you're multitasking. Go to your alarm section right now, your alarm clock. Go to your alarm clock and enter 2 p.m. You tracking with me? Okay, good. 2 p.m., I need you to be my they. I'm supposed to meet with this guy to rent a house for Surfing the Nations, guys. For those of you that don't know, I help out with another organization that does missions and training. And I got to house people, 12 people. And I've been getting the door slammed left and right because people don't know who we are. What is this thing? You want how many people living in my house? But do you guys know this area, Atlanta and Alabama? Have you seen that big, green, ugly house? That tall one, skinny, construction fence around it still? I want it. Who's going to want to put their kid in that? There's no yard. All right, I'll help paint it too. I want that house for Surfing the Nations, and I need you to be my they. At 2 p.m., I'm supposed to meet with him and see if we can get it, okay? Now, for months, I've been looking at that, driving by that. It's new, and it's kind of expensive, and like I said, it's big and ugly and kind of awkward. But I'm like, that would be so good for our guys. That would be so good for our guys. So I called a number and approached them, and they said, no, you know, we want to have this level of payment in there. We're looking at a bunch of sober living houses. They're paying us top dollar. And I was like, you don't want those guys up in there? My guys are clean and sober. I was like, I'm stoked those guys are trying to change their life. That's awesome. I love that. But they're going to be dumping cigarette butts all over your place. You know it. I know it. Come on. Let's just speak. You don't want that. He's like, well, you know, if you can't hit this level, it is what it is, you know? And so I kind of just got the door shut. So just yesterday, though, I called him because I was like, you know what? I've been getting not a lot of luck with our housing. So I said, I'm going to call and see if it's still on the market. You know, it still looks like it's on the market. So I called and I got his brother. I didn't know there was a brother. I got his brother, and he said, you know, we were going to rent to these sober living houses, but we just decided we didn't want that kind of clientele in the house. I said, so I was, you know, it's like, so what do you do, blah, blah, blah. So I was kind of trying to tell him. He's like, okay, let's meet tomorrow. I said, yes, let's meet tomorrow. So I have a portfolio ready and everything, but it's a little out of my budget for our housing budget because I'm the crazy guy, remember? So my wife said, what are you doing? That's out of our budget. I said, I don't care. It's not that far out of my budget. I can see it. It's about $900 out of our budget per month. Funny, funny, Zach. Now, $900 to me is not a lot in the big picture of life, but I do understand $900 a month is about $10,000 a year that I'm short. So I'm not scared of that, though. So I'm going to meet with him today at 2 and see if he's willing to wheel and deal with me. So at 2 o'clock, your alarms are set to pray for me. And the guy's name is Dan, okay? So I need you to give me some crazy, aggressive prayers because I want to impact the city and impact Hope Chapel, and I need a place to house these guys that are ready to do it with me, okay? So are you down? Okay, good. All right, number 3, I need you to think outside the box. Let's go to verse 19, okay? Verse 19 says, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they went up to the roof and took off some tiles. Then they lowered the sick man on his mat down into the crowd right in front of Jesus. I love this. Think outside the box is actually our motto in Surfing the Nations. It's actually live outside the box. But I love this because it promotes creativity. It promotes being cutting edge. It promotes taking risks. It promotes making history, okay? I like that. It allows me to operate and think like that. So that's why when I say, oh, whatever, it's $900 out of the, no big deal. I'm thinking out of the box. You know what I'm saying? Don't be mad, okay? So, but I love this scripture right here because they start tearing the roof off. You got your 4 people in your they holding Steve paralyzed. They're walking, I don't know from how far, it doesn't say, I haven't done that depth of a study. They're walking, they're carrying him. You heavy, hairy, falafel-eating, paralyzed guy. we can't even get in the place now. And the crazy guy, who I like, says, I'm not going, well, he didn't say that, but this is Zach's interpretation. I'm not going back. We just walked his butt all the way over here. We're not leaving here. He needs it. We're getting him in there. This guy is supposed to be doing crazy stuff, this guy named Jesus. So let's do this. You know what? I see a roof up there. Let's do this. Let's do this, team. I'm sure there were other guys on the team saying, you know, I don't think that's a good idea. That's not even our house. You know what I'm saying? But that's crazy. Start taking the tiles off, depending on the version. It says they tore a hole in the roof. Whatever you're reading, I love it. It's crazy. It's out of the box thinking. And you know, as a having been a lifeguard guy, I'm thinking, okay, they put him on a backboard and, you know, kind of like lowered him in. They're guaranteed there's no way they did that. Well, maybe there was. But in my opinion, there probably wasn't. They were probably like, look, there's a garden hose over there. Get that thing up here. We're going to take the tiles out. And you know they didn't lower him down all equal, support the neck. They probably just tied it around him on his armpits and just lowered him down. Why would you make a bigger hole than you needed, right? That's how they were thinking. We got to get him in there. We're going to miss our opportunity. I'm not carrying this guy back, okay? I like that. We're going to rip the roof off to get our friend in there. We're going to rip the roof off, okay? You got to tear the roof off or rip the roof off if you want to see some results sometimes. I wrote down here, if you're not desperate, you're not getting breakthrough. Don talked to me about that last week, I think. Ooh, you're getting desperate. But if you're not desperate, you're not going to get breakthrough. Sure, things will happen in your life, but when you're desperate, you're really like, okay, God, like, seriously, I need you, okay? Okay, so that's great. You need to get the breakthrough. You need to get a little desperate. You need to get a little crazy. You got to do whatever it takes. And that's why I like verse 19. It's to me like these guys are going for it. And they're going to do whatever it takes for their friend. Point number four. I like this one. Jesus is concerned with the heart. You know this. I know this. Everyone knows Jesus loves people. At least they know that to some degree. But I like it. Let's look at verse 20, okay? Verse 20, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, young man, your sins are forgiven. Okay? Now, I love this. Jesus is concerned with the heart. His primary concern is your heart, your relationship with him. Secondary are the perks and the benefits and the provision. And you know what? We forget that. These guys forgot that. That's why they were so offended. What? We came here to see some action, some miracles. Who is this guy saying your sins are forgiven? We wanted to see some healing. They got it flipped, and we get it flipped sometimes. I get it flipped sometimes. Oh, Lord, let me provide this house for me. Da, 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 da. Zach, how's your attitude, Zach? Where are you stuck at, Zach? Let's address the real issue so that you won't get stuck again. You know, Pastor Paul, if you've been here long enough, says sometimes in a sermon, if you're living from miracle to miracle, you're really living from crisis to crisis. And I never thought of it like that, but I like that. Because that, to me, if you're living from miracle to miracle, really means if your whole life is a miracle, everything is kind of always in a crisis that you're needing a miracle. And if everything is always in a crisis, you're not really dealing with the heart or the relationship things. But that's his primary concern. That's what this whole thing's about. The whole thing is about relationship with him. We sing, I am a friend of God. The whole thing was he wants to be our friend. That's it. It's that simple. He wants to be our friend. And these guys forgot that, and sometimes we forget that. Secondary is the provision and the perks and the healing. He loves doing that because he's a father, right? If you're a father, you know you like to provide for your kids. I like to provide for my kids. But guess what? I like when they obey me better. I like when they love me and I love them and we get to talk better. Okay? But at the same time, remember, in this same exact scripture, depending on your version, he was so gentle, wasn't he? Do you see it? Do you see where he's gentle? Where? Show me. Open form here. What does he say that shows he's being gentle? Verse 20. No, your sins are forgiven. That's good. What?
Friend.
He says friend. Isn't that amazing? He says friend. He's telling him. He had a moment right there where he could have hammered down and maybe gave him a little tough love. Well, look, Steve, if you would have been such an idiot, this wouldn't have happened. Or, hey, this isn't your roof. You're going to have to do some repayment here, Steve. Who's paying for this? That's how everyone talks to me when I ask them, who's going to pay me? Well, you got to have all these guys here. Who's going to pay me? I'm like, just relax. Like, I'm going to take good care of it. Okay? He could have done that. He could have bashed him. He could have done it in a whole other parable. And maybe he should have, but he didn't. He was gentle. He said, friend, you are forgiven. That's cool. That's really cool. So if you're going to do whatever it takes, and you're going to rip the roof off, and you're going to think outside of the box and be a little crazy, I want to encourage you to be gentle. Because guess what? If they're already paralyzed, they probably already know it. They don't need to be more paralyzed. They don't need to be more injured in the process. There's already shame. There's already knowledge of what's going on. I know I'm paralyzed. I know I'm stuck in this sin. I know I'm an idiot. I know I messed up. How about you just be a friend and be gentle? It goes a long way. It went a long way here. You can do that by being extreme hospitality. I love hospitality. Don't you like going to a nice hotel? You just feel loved on, cared for. Or a nice restaurant, your favorite restaurant. You feel cared for and loved. Next. Who's up? Next. That's the DMV. No one likes the DMV. No one likes that. I don't even go to the DMV anymore. I go to AAA. It's like, hey, how you doing? What can we do for you? Oh, well, let's do this right now. Okay? Do whatever it takes, but be gentle. Be gentle. Don't hurt them more. Don't paralyze them more. They already know it. I don't come to church here because it's, I need to be told more how to be a better dad or how to find a house easier or what I should have done or why I should make more money. I already know all those things. Or how I could have been more gentle and said this better, or being a better husband. I need a friend around me that's going to love on me and encourage me and show me. I don't know why you come here and sit on Sunday morning. You could be doing 1,000 other things. But that's what I need. Okay, point number 5. I like this point. This is my specialty titling of point number 5. Take your dirty old mat with you. That's point number 5. Take your dirty old mat with you. Verse 24, let's look at it. Okay? So, I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. Did you ever wonder why Jesus said, pick up your mat? I mean, guaranteed you've read this before if you've been a seasoned Christian. It's kind of like, oh yeah, get your stuff and get out of here. Why did he say that? As a surfer, I know why. You're going to know why too. You're going to know why too. Right? As a surfer, we're pretty prideful in general. Get out of my way. Get off my wave. Go back to the 9. Beat it, kook. Get out of here. I'm in Surf City, USA. Ooh. Like, those are all prideful statements. I don't know what. I mean, I love that we're in Surf City, USA, but that's pretty prideful to be like, this is Surf City, America, so welcome to the real deal. Okay? But those are all prideful statements. But as surfers, we're especially good at showing when we've been humbled by Jesus. And it's when we break a board, when we bust a board. You know why? Because when you bust a board, you're like, oh, yeah, I got to pick it up. Go to my car. Oh, yeah, it was huge. Whether it's 2 foot or 20 foot, you can all, most surfers, not all, but most, never just slip it into the first beach trash can and walk home. You could easily let it just drift down the beach or slip it into the first beach trash can. But a lot of surfers, you'll see, if you maybe when the next big swell comes, they're carrying it home. You see some Grom riding down Main Street with a busted board in his bike rack. You see busted boards in car racks driving home. Like, you know why? That's their dirty old mat. Look what I did today. Some of you are a little bit bummed when you break a board because you're like, well, it means I got to buy a new board. But then the other point is like, I'm pretty stoked. I'm going to get a new board. And you got a story to back it up. You should have been there. It was this big. You should have seen it. I pulled in so deep. That's your dirty old mat as a surfer. When you bust a board, that's like a story you get to tell. And that's what he did right here. He said, take your dirty old mat. He didn't say dirty old mat, but let's be honest. If he was paralyzed, it was probably dirty and old. Take your dirty old mat and get out of here and tell people what you did, what I saw, what you experienced. Show the world, tell the world, tell your community about Jesus, about what he's done. That's what he wants us to do. It gives people hope. If you're a young guy like me, if you're older, people want to hear about what you've been through because it gives them hope and encouragement. It gives them someone to relate to. It's pretty simple. Don't hide it. Don't just let it slip away. Showcase that thing. That's a notch on the belt. People want to see that. Okay? So that's point number 5. I love it. Tell the world what's happening about Jesus, what he's done in your life. So, whatever it takes is good. I want to encourage you today. Do whatever it takes. You've got a couple days left in the New Year's to do whatever it takes to make a difference. It's not hard, but I'm telling you, it's not really a suggestion. Pastor Paul and Ainsley didn't just fluff that one into the air and say, oh, this sounds good. It's like, that's what they want you to do. We want you to make a difference, and all you got to do is pick someone. They don't even have to be in your day. Just pick someone and make a difference. Encourage them, love them, help them be creative, rip the roof off for them. It's a good theme. You got a couple days left to execute. So hope you perform. Perform, maybe that's not the right word, but you get what I mean, right? So let me close in prayer. And I'll have the altar prayer team come up. Lord, thank you so much for today. We love you. Thank you for 2019 coming to an end. Thank you for Huntington Beach, Costa Mesa, Fountain Valley, Long Beach, Westminster. Thank you for Orange County, Lord. We are so privileged and blessed to live here. Lord, I'm excited for people to make a difference and to do it by whatever it takes. I pray that today's message would sink in with people for the rest of the year. That's a kind of easy one, actually, because it's only a couple days left. Yeah, Lord, we want to do whatever it takes. We want to love people. We want to encourage them. We want to have enough faith to cover them. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. All the provision, all the healing, all the amazing things from 2019. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you've ever been stuck, if you need some new friends, or to adjust your they. If you need some boldness and creativeness and some out-of-the-box thinking, or maybe you just have a dirty old mat that you want to share all the praise that's happened in your life and showcase that, I want to encourage you to pray with the prayer team up here. That's why they like doing prayer team. They don't just like doing it because it's standing up here in front of a bunch of people. I like praying and praising with you. So I want to encourage you to do whatever it takes, even this morning, to pray with people. And if the prayer team isn't available, pray with people next to you. Spend time as we worship just praying over these things on whatever it takes to make a difference. Or praising the amazing things God has done. Sound good? Awesome. Thank you.
Lamb of God and say, you are worthy.
Happy New Year. I'm glad you're here. I hope to see you at 6 p.m. on Tuesday night to bring in the new year. And if not, I hope you enjoy your day. Thank you for coming. And don't forget, what's at 2 o'clock? Aggressive, ripping the roof off prayers. Okay, you are dismissed. Enjoy your Sunday.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.